The meditation of this hour is entitled Understanding Our Body Chemistry. Have you ever wondered, children as well as adults, children, have you ever wondered why something arises in you that you can hardly control? Anger or fear? Or a desire to give another person a punch? Where does that come from? Have you ever wondered why you do things impulsively, that afterwards you feel sorry that you've done that? Have you felt anger coming up in your soul, which you can't control? Or any kind of feelings that rise up in you that overcome you? Over the next few Sabbaths, I intend to explore the scriptures as to what this is all about. And I want us to consider the scripture reading that we have just read. Psalm 139, where the psalmist in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. We today understand a little more than they used to in the past what actually transpires in the development of an embryo and the formation of an embryo in the first place. And as this describes here, that I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is a metaphoric description of the mother's womb. The lowest parts of the earth, because every human being is made of earth. And we want to just enlarge that in a moment. But my substance was formed, and you possessed my reins, in verse 13. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise thee, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee. My substance. What is this substance? What is this substance made of? Every one of us has been made of this substance and has become a substance. It's called DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid. That's the long term of DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid. What is that? What's that? Acid? My substance is an acidic form. My substance is chemistry. A chemical substance, extremely sophisticated in its design, in codes that design the entire body and the entire personality. A substance, a chemistry, Do you see yourself as a product of chemistry? We all know that mankind was created by our Creator. And I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where the substance was brought together originally by God, where it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Adam and Eve were created, and especially Adam to start with. Here was the source of the woman, because before the woman was created, the man was created. And there is the description. How was he created? From dust. And if you carefully examine this in scientific terms, the dust is a component of minerals, which put together with water becomes a chemical substance. And it's put together by the Creator of the universe, designed beautifully in the creation of Adam. And I just refer to Job chapter 33, verse 4, where the creation of man is expressed in these terms. Job chapter 33 and verse 4. Who made me? Remember, in the beginning there, the Holy Spirit moved upon the water. So what does it say here? The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. At the creation of the human being, the Holy Spirit was the active agent. He made me. He made humanity. And God breathed into him the breath of life. There was the body put together from earth and water, very intricately designed, putting the minerals and the other chemical substances together in a very remarkably designed feature. Amazing. And then God breathed into that body that was lying there. It wasn't mobile. It was just a body designed. And then what happened? God breathed the breath of life. And what else happened? Do you know what else happened? He gave the body an electric shock. It was the breath of life. In my nursing years, when a person died of a heart attack, we got there in time. We came with two electrodes and we put an electric shock through the heart, and they continued to live. The heart needs not only its existence, it needs not only breath, it needs to have an electrical current running through it. And in your heart, right in the middle of the heart, there is an electrode. It's called the pacemaker. And that pacemaker electrically impulses the heart 40 times a minute. and it is not in contact with any other electrical connection. When you think about that, that's where God keeps you alive. The electricity keeps on coming there from God. And then it increases the heartbeat from the electricity of the brain to the heart to raise the pulse level that's needed. So notice, chemicals from dust combined with water built into a complex structure of the human body. And if you study this complex structure of the human body, every part of the body is made up of tiny little cells, which are a package of mucus and chemical substance in a fluid state, encased in a membrane, like a little bag of fluid, but chemically very, very sophisticated there. In there is the DNA in the very center of that cell. And your body is made up of millions of cells all working together, interacting with one another. And there are the nerve cells, which is the electrical system in your body. And those nerve cells, they are a certain length, and then they connect with the next cell, the nerve cell, through a chemical synapse where they join together, but they don't touch each other. The electricity runs through this chemical fluid and then jumps to the next cell, and then the electricity continues through from cell to cell to cell. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In my years of nursing, when we were trained in physiology and such like, I was spellbound as I was talking to God through it all. What about this and what about that? And it slowly came together in my understanding from God's viewpoint. Because not only is there chemistry of the DNA and of the cell structure inside, there is also a hormonal chemistry. Hormones. And as I was studying that, I was absolutely flabbergasted. Your hormones produce your personality. Did you know that? Your personality is made up of chemical substance. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, Lord, what chance do I have? My chemistry is all over the place. We'll come back to that very soon. The interaction with each other through an electrochemical process makes up you and me. And so, man was created in the image of God from dust and water. I want to read here from Child Guidance, a very important little ingredient. The image of God represents not only the character of God, but the physical structure of humanity, of the human being, is a physical representation of God, His image. I read it from Child Guidance, page 103, paragraph 1 and 2, where it says, "The Creator of man has arranged the living machinery for our bodies." Living machinery, chemistry, bound together by cell membranes. Every function is wonderfully and wisely made. You want to study it. It's profound. And God has pledged himself to keep this human machinery in healthful action if the human agent will obey his laws and cooperate with God. We may behold and admire the work of God in the natural world, but the human habitation is the most wonderful. From the first dawn of reason, the human mind should become intelligent in regard to the physical structure. Did you catch that, children? Your education is to be from the very dawn of your reason, is that you should have an intelligent regard to the physical structure. What I'm just touching on here opens up a huge field of the study of physiology. You are to study this. Why? Here, Jehovah has given a specimen of himself. Did you catch that? In your human frame, in that human physical structure, Jehovah has given a specimen of himself, for man was made in the image of God. The first study of the young should be known, should be to know themselves and how to keep their bodies in health. To know yourself. How many do actually study physiology for that purpose? Very little around today. And when I studied it, because I had to pass my exams, the Lord showed me things that even my other friends that were educated in exactly the same way weren't understanding. The Lord was helping me because I was walking with him very closely at that time, as I do today. So there it is. Your physical body was created as a specimen of God himself. And I read it again from Testimony Volume 3, page 72. In paragraph 1 it says, "The Lord made man upright in the beginning. He was created with a perfectly balanced mind. The size and strength of all its organs being perfectly developed. Adam was a perfect type of man. Every quality of mind was well proportioned, each having a distinctive office, and yet all dependent one upon another for the full and proper use of any one of them." There it is in layman's terms, that God had created this interaction of the cells and the organs, all having their different office, all having an important part to play. If one of those parts that they were playing was not correct, it would affect the whole body into a state of dis-ease. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But of the earth, God created a specimen of himself from the earth. From the earth, earthy. Let's just read about that in 1 Corinthians 15, such an interesting point that the scripture reveals here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45-49. As it is written, verse 45, "As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So in this earthy body, God had created a specimen of himself. So if you see Adam, if you see a perfect man, that is a specimen of God. That's what we've read. But what happened in between, where this beautiful creature came forth perfect, and then came the second man, Jesus Christ there. What happened in between? We understand well, we know well what happened. Adam and Eve ate of that tree, and what did that generate in their substance? A lot of people don't understand what actually that sin created or developed in the body of Adam and Eve. When God came to talk with them, what did they do? They ran for their life. They hid. What is that? Adam expressed it. We were afraid. There was the first impact upon the beautifully balanced machinery of something that caused a disruption, because the hormone adrenaline is the hormone that has to do with fear and flight and fight. And that hormone was stirred out of its normal process, and they fear created an abnormal function that created ultimate death. Because if you have too much adrenaline or a constant flow of adrenaline, it'll finally kill you. And that's what God said, in the day you eat thereof, dying thou shalt die. Something happened to the chemistry. What happened to that chemistry that was so perfectly structured and balanced in creation? We let the spirit of prophecy throw a powerful light upon that in Testimony Volume 8, page 312, paragraph 1 and 2. It says, far more than we do, we need to understand the issues at stake in the conflict in which we are engaged. Far more than we do, we need to be understanding of this. That's why I'm sharing this divine service with you and enlarge it again next week. Because we need to understand the issues at stake in the conflict in which we are engaged. That was the question I pointed out in the beginning. Why do we have these things that rise up inside of me that make me angry? What is this? What is this feeling that comes over me that makes me feel tempted to do wrong? What is that? I need to understand that according to this. And here is what happened because of sin. The infinite value of the sacrifice required for our redemption reveals the fact that sin is a tremendous evil. Through sin, the whole human organism is deranged. What's happened to this chemical soup? It's become deranged through sin. As I said, the first thing that happened was the the adrenal rush, they call that today. Some people live for the adrenal rush, but it's a deadly thing. That causes death. The whole human organism is deranged. The mind is perverted. The imagination is corrupted. Sin has degraded the faculties of the soul. All those beautiful faculties that work together in this chemical substance, electrochemical, I should say, all these have been so deranged and degraded, those faculties. And what happens? Temptations from without find an answering chord within the heart, and the feet turn imperceptibly toward evil. Think what that means. Remember we read it there about Lot? He didn't have any idea that by going towards Sodom he was going to be affected. But because of the sinful organism that has been deranged, he was affected, and so were all his family. So let's explore that a little bit more deeply now, because we understand the physiology of our body to some degree by understanding that it is a chemical substance. What does it mean that I am deranged in my chemistry so that without me even thinking that I wanted to do something, it happens without me thinking? Imperceptibly, my feet turn toward evil. What is that? There are DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, that runs through you from your heredity, that cause your certain organism derangement to affect you. Hereditary leanings, it's called. Demanding action. Working upon your mind and causing an impulse inside of you to come up in the chemistry. Follow scripture with me in reference to that. Now, I just want to read a very short sentence here from Christ Object Lesson, page 346, paragraph 2, where it says, "Our impulses and passions have their seat where? Have their seat in the body." And I tell you, even the people who study theology don't understand this reality. I've been through the mill on the subject. Ministers who've argued with me when I highlighted that your flesh is sinful flesh, which actually does things without you even intending to. Oh no, they argued with me. And as we continue, they argue on another level with regards to Christ as well. But let's read here. Follow the scripture with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And there we read verse 2 and 3. Where the apostle is dealing with us before we were converted. He says, "In time past, you walked according to the course of this world." What is the course of this world? "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now comes a very important part, verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past," where? "In the lusts of our flesh." Your flesh is your substance. That's what we've been studying so far. Our flesh has got this chemical structure, this chemical effect, and without conversion, we follow the impulses, the lusts, the passions of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, because the brain also is flesh. Don't ignore that fact. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of what? The children of wrath. Wrath. Oh. That's something that starts inside of your body too, doesn't it? Have you ever been angry with each other? Have you ever been wrathful? We are by nature the children of wrath because of sin, even as others. So this is the description of the natural condition of sinful man. Thoughts, feelings that come from a deranged chemistry that rise up inside of you and me. All of us. Often without even thinking. Just to give you an example. Have you ever been in a paddock where there was a bull? And you know that bull is got a fence between you and him. That's okay. But if you find yourself in a paddock without a fence between you and the bull, what happens inside of you? You're ready to run, aren't you? Or to get a big log or something and hit the bull over the head or over the nose. Because adrenaline has started to forge inside of you. You've got this feeling that is ready to do something to save yourself. You just have to look and you don't have to think. It's just like that, yeah? You don't have to think. You want to run. It's called a reflex. And a reflex is something that happens without you thinking. I never forget the conversation I had with some Christian teachers, and they didn't believe that your flesh can do anything of its own. And one of them had his leg over the other one, and I hit him in the knee, and his knee kicked. I said, "Did you want to kick just then? Your flesh did it without you wanting to, didn't it?" Ignorance. Reflex actions happen without you wanting or thinking. It's just you see a bull, off you go. It's without thinking. This is your chemistry. This is your flesh. And there's all sorts of different shades of feelings and sensations that come through your physiology, through your chemistry, that I don't want to go into the detail of, because some of it is very private. Hormonal influences are very personal. And you wonder what's going on inside of you. Thoughts and feelings that prevent you from doing what you know you should. Apostle Paul describes it so well in the book of Romans, chapter 7, which I often refer to in our meditations. Romans chapter 7, here it is, verse 14. This is the flesh that he is suffering with, like every one of us do. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. "For you know that the law is spiritual, but I am" what? Carnal, which means fleshly. "Sold under sin." My flesh is affected by sin. "For that which I do, I allow not." I'm doing things that I don't even agree with. I've talked to people that say, I've got this particular problem and I can't help it. I don't want to be like this, but I am. What I don't allow, I do. For what I would, I want to do the right thing. I want to be like Jesus, but I don't do it. What I hate, that's what I do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now that language, if you understand the physiology of your being, you will know that because of sin, my system is so deranged that without me even wanting to do it, I do it. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me can actually make me do things which I don't want to do. And a lot of people just don't want to accept that. But that's reality. It's chemistry. And then verse 24, the apostle is so distressed about this until he found the answer. And here he then says, O wretched man that I am, in verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body of this death that makes me do the wrong thing all the time. How can I be saved from that? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is meant when he said that? What does he mean? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've got this problem. Children, you got the problem. You do the wrong thing sometimes and you wonder, why am I doing this? I'm so restless. Why am I arguing with my brother or my sister? Why is this happening to me? I don't want to do it. I love them. And I hurt them by saying all sorts of horrible things. Ever happened to you? Who can save me? I thank God through Jesus Christ. That word through Jesus Christ is very important. My chemistry that is all deranged by sin, there is something through Jesus Christ that can work to help me. Through Jesus Christ. What is the answer through Jesus Christ? You see, the Creator knew that this was going to happen, and he provided a remedy. He provided the atonement. It's E.G. White puts it, and I've read it to us many times. The atonement is the remedy for the cure of transgression. Jesus was provided for an atonement for us. Let's read it in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we let the Bible do the talking. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Jesus is speaking about him here now. He said, he made himself, which we start from verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made into what? What was he made into? The likeness of men. And then comes a very important statement. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. There is a depth of understanding in this now. What was it? He found himself. What did he find himself in? In fashion as a man. As a man with the same flesh and blood that you and I have. As a man with the same chemical arrangement. When it said there, when Apostle Paul said that he came and found himself in fashion as a man, that he came in the likeness of man. What did that likeness mean? Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Very simple Bible descriptions here that we need to understand, as I read it there from Sister White, the issues at stake. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, where it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." Right? Your flesh can't keep the law because it's a chemical derangement. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in what? In the likeness of sinful flesh. And as a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus what? Jesus was made in the likeness of your flesh that can't help itself. Many people don't understand this. We had a large amount of that last week as Brother Manuel shared it with us. Jesus was truly made in our total likeness in sinful flesh. Let's read it just in case people put a wrong construction on that text that says in the likeness of sinful flesh. They say, but that's not the real, not the same thing. Well, let's read it from another scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about, and so he repeats it in several other places. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood." What are we made of? Chemistry. The chemistry that we... And he came... We're going to read a statement in a moment. He came in the likeness of that flesh and blood. What does it say? "He also himself likewise took part of the what?" What do you read? Of the same. Likeness means the same. Don't let anybody hoodwink you. When he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, it was the same. He took part of the same, so that what could happen? That through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. What does this sinful flesh do? It's going to die. Jesus partook of sinful flesh, the chemistry of your and my problem, which Apostle Paul says, "I've got this problem. How do I deal with it?" I thank God through Jesus Christ. He came in exactly the same chemistry. Deranged. And let's read verse 15 of Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he never sinned." So what was going through his chemistry? The same feelings that come up inside of you. The chemical derangement. He experienced that. He could be touched with the feelings. He could be touched with the feelings of anger. He could be touched with the feelings of fear. He could be touched with any feelings that we have. In fact, he was in all points tempted like as we are. Therefore, through Jesus Christ, I'm going to learn, if he had to meet those feelings, how am I going to deal with mine? He's given me the wonderful answer. But let's just go for a moment longer into the spirit of prophecy here in heavenly places, what Jesus actually suffered there, Heavenly Places, page 263, and I'll read from paragraph 6. A beautiful comfort here. As we were describing what Apostle Paul said, I can't do the right thing. I keep on doing the wrong thing. The pitying Savior, he's got pity on us because he knows the experience, stands right by your side to help you. The atonement. Jesus was truly at one with us so that he can feel with us exactly how we feel when those feelings want to overcome us. He would send every angel out of glory while you are struggling to overcome sin so that Satan cannot have the victory over you. Now comes very important statement. Christ took man's human nature upon him that he might come right down to a man in the temptations wherewith man is beset. The pitiful Redeemer knows just how to help us in every one of our strivings. You want to believe that? And a woman might say, as a woman said to me when I was a minister's wife and was talking to this Seventh-day Adventist minister, and I was trying to get this across to them, and she turns around and says, Jesus wasn't a woman. He wouldn't know what it feels like in my monthly. How do you answer that? Ignorant speaking, of course, on her part. But the point is, Jesus was made in all points like we are, man or woman. And the chemistry which he suffered under was the chemistry that we suffer under. Jesus suffered under our DNA, under that acid. He suffered under that. Let me read to you one powerful little quote here. Page 48 of Desire of Ages. Page 48 and paragraph 6 says this. She talks about the Bethlehem story as an exhaustless theme. It goes on and on. I could stay here with you all day. Could go from one thing to the next to the next. It's exhaustless. But it says, Jesus, if it would have been almost an infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. What does this mean? Like every child of Adam, he accepted the results of the working of the great law of heredity. What's that? DNA. He accepted the accumulation of the codes that were passed on from one sinner to the next over 4,000 years. He accepted all that. And in that chemical soup that he found himself as a man, what does it say? How serious this was. That, just got to pick up the most important punchline here. What these results were is shown in the history of his earthly ancestors. He came with such a heredity to share our sorrows and temptations and give us an example of a sinless life. What were his ancestors? Who were they? Think of King David. Think of the harlot. Think of Solomon. These were all his ancestors. Can you imagine the chemical soup that he inherited from them? What a humiliation. Jesus suffered all that in his chemistry. As he suffered all that, as we just read there, he gave us an example, and I need to discover that example. So, Jesus suffered under the DNA that you and I suffer under. And he suffered the hormonal impulses that would have affected him in a very strong way when he was being mistreated. You know, just imagine a crown of thorns being pushed onto your head. What goes through this chemistry? And all those feelings that would have aroused through these when he was reviled. The reviling reaction of the passions of the chemistry, what he would have felt there, and what did he have to do to deal with all that? There are thoughts and feelings suggested and aroused by Satan that annoy even the best of men. The best of men. Who was the best of men? You know, Jesus was the best of men. And those thoughts and feelings were aroused inside of him by Satan. Aroused. You know, there's a statement where Sister White says, Satan touches the body of God's saints. And when he touches your body in a certain way, you get certain feelings. Jesus was touched by Satan. Remember when Satan picked him up, all hungry? And he picked him up and flew him up to the mount, to the pinnacle of the temple, and then to the mountain. What a sensation! Satan gave him a feeling in his chemistry. Goes on and on. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to be saved, Jesus has provided a way. What is that way? You read it there. Incidentally, the quote I just quoted before was, that I may know him, page 140, paragraph 2. Those hormonal impulses. But the answer to what Jesus, that Jesus will help you, is what you need to understand. How will he help me? In Hebrews 5, we read verse 7 to 9. And there it is. He's talking directly about Jesus in his flesh, like you and mine, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Can you learn by the things which you suffer? Obedience? Jesus showed us how. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus, with the chemistry of your makeup, became the author of your salvation. If you want to conquer those ugly feelings, if you want to conquer those sensations that go through you and make you go, I can't help it, hit somebody in the face, or push somebody over, I can't help it. Jesus felt that. And he comes to you and says, learn of me. I can show you how to conquer that. Apostle Paul describes what and how this is to be done that Jesus gave the example of. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now we're getting right down to the nuts and bolts of the nature of Christ by which we are to learn how to overcome our chemistry. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. What's that? I keep under my chemistry. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Jesus showed Apostle Paul. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what I've got to do. You see, it's all to do with what you do in decision, in choice. As we look at Jesus, he gives us the possibility of making a choice, a decision. And that's what he says. I will keep under my chemistry. When I get a feeling that wants me to do the very thing which I don't want to do, I will conquer it by my decision, by choice. So when you next want to hit your brother or sister, make a choice. This is not what God wants me to do. But I have to do. No, Jesus will show you how. Follow Jesus' example. He will show you how. And we want to go deeper and deeper into this over the next few weeks. I could go on here and I'm going to keep you for too long. The point is, our concentration has been sharply triggered now that we want to know more detail, don't we? We want to know how my chemistry can be quenched by Jesus Christ. Let's read it once more in some more detail by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Here, Apostle Paul describes it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Now, notice the way he starts. Although we walk in the flesh. What's he saying? My body is my flesh and I walk in it. I can't help it. This is my chemistry. Although I walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are we to do? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is real hand-to-hand battle. Do you know the feeling, how easy it is to do the wrong thing? And then you look to Jesus and you look to this answer and you say, oh, I have a mind. I can actually do something about this. And a very quick description of what the Lord taught me when I was learning about the endocrine system, which is the hormonal system. You see, when you get a feeling and a thought, or you look at something, and like the bull chasing, wanting to chase you, adrenaline gets spurted straight into your bloodstream. And that adrenaline is in your bloodstream and it's going to demand what that particular chemical is demanding in your body. Now, that's just one thing. There are the sexual hormones. There are the thyroxine, which affects your activity as well. If it's in the bloodstream, that's what I asked the Lord. Now, Lord, as we were studying this, how can I prevent this from getting anywhere? And the sweet voice of Jesus said, just keep on listening. keep on studying. And as we were studying that, for that particular hormone to be negated, there is another gland right in the middle of your brain called the pituitary gland. And I love it, when I shared this in the past, one of our members said, oh, that's the spiritual gland. Yeah. Because that gland is in direct connection with the brain, and the brain sends a message to the pituitary gland when it says you mustn't act according to this chemistry now. The pituitary gland sends a hormone, a chemistry, into the bloodstream that negates the adrenaline or the other hormones. It just changes it. And I thought, oh Lord, this was just overwhelming to me. And Jesus came to show us that the power of his mind, trusting in God. Remember the words of Jesus, and I'm going to pick this up next week. What does he say? Of my own self, I can do nothing. What does he mean? He says, as my Father speaks to me and shows me, that's what I do. I don't rely upon my own mind here. I'm trusting in what God is showing me. That's what he said. We'll pick it all up next week again. What then is the testimony of Jesus when he said, I can of mine own self do nothing, but as the Father shows me? Let's read that one. John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. And how people misunderstand this, but what does he say? But what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What did Jesus have to rely on? Not his own thoughts, not his own feelings. He couldn't do it from that. He had to depend on what the Father showed him. And so do you and I. Don't rely on your own ideas. Rely on what the Father and what Jesus shows us. The Holy Spirit will take of Jesus and show it to you. And that's what you've got to go by. And now, in conclusion, I want to read Ministry of Healing, where this particular understanding is powerfully expressed. Ministry of Healing, page 176, paragraph 1 onwards. It says, the tempted one, now when you get those feelings, you are being tempted. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do, yes? The tempted one needs to understand the true force of what? Of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man. The power of decision, of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. Desires for goodness and purity are right so far as they go, but if we stop here, they avail nothing. That's what Apostle Paul described. I want to do the right thing, but it doesn't work. So, many will go down to ruin while hoping and desiring to overcome their evil propensities. They do not yield to the will of God. They do not choose to serve him. Now opens up a huge field. What is God's will for you? And if God's will is different to what you want, are you going to follow Jesus? That's a choice you have to make. Because you'll never gain the victory over sin if you don't follow the instructions and the example that come from Jesus. That is what it's all about. And there's a majority of people today, they don't want to. That's where the problem lies. But if you will follow Jesus' example, he chose to follow God's will. And as my time is gone, we will look at the example of Jesus in more detail as we come again together next Sabbath. But here is an important answer that you want to take with you. You're struggling against your impulses and passions. You're struggling against your chemistry. If you want to overcome anger, what must you do? Look to the example and make a choice. And if you've made the right choice, God will help you to overcome your problem. Simple answer. But we want to enlarge some more. So may God bless us as we continue to examine his word, speaking to us personally. Amen.